The truth was that all the techniques being employed out there had been known to iron masters virtually since the creation. But most of the iron which had ever before been required had been produced in much smaller operations, and without the consistent application of power from the perpetually rotating water wheels Hausmann and his mechanics had integrated into this foundry. Well, Michael corrected himself, there are a few changes in technique, if I'm going to be honest, so I suppose it's fortunate that none of them had to be tested under the prescriptions. Hausmann had gone further than anyone else in finding ways to use the power of his water wheels. As one result, his furnaces burned hotter, and he'd been forced to find more refractory materials for the fire brick those furnaces required, which, in turn, had inspired him to try to drive temperatures still higher. Michael was one of the very few people who knew about Hausmann's latest project, a further development of the puddling hearth, but one which used hot furnace gases to preheat the ductwork by which the furnace was fired. Unless Michael was sorely mistaken, production rates would be going up once more. And if Hausmann's more optimistic predictions proved justified, he might actually find himself producing true steel, not simple wrought iron, in quantities such as no other ironmaster had ever even contemplated. Fortunately, the church had never set any sort of standard for the materials from which fire brick had to be made, or the temperatures to which furnaces might be heated, which meant Hausmann's increased efficiency had slipped past almost unnoticed by Safehold at large, and by the Inquisition in particular. The same broader and more innovative use of the power of his water wheels had allowed him to achieve still other efficiencies as well, such as the grooved geared rollers which let him produce iron bars far more quickly and economically than the traditional methods of hammering or of cutting strips from a rolled plate. "I know your output is a lot higher on a manpower basis," Michael continued, "but they don't have to match your output if they can bury you under sheer numbers of foundries." "I know. Believe me, I know. On the other hand," Hausmann raised one hand and pointed out beyond the current outer ring of furnaces to where still more walls and foundations marked additional expansion, which was already well underway. "Within 4 months, we're going to have increased our present capacity by another 50%. I'm expanding both my Telisberg foundry and the one in Tirion as well, too." Michael nodded, turning his head to watch yet another cargo vessel moving steadily up the Delphac from Larak. He wondered what this one carried as it steered towards the cluster of ships already moored at Hausmann's lakeside docks. More coke for the furnaces? Copper and tin for Hausmann's bronze works? Or more timbers, brick, and cement for the ongoing construction tasks? Housing for Hausmann's employees was also going up. Like Michael himself, Hausmann held strong opinions on the quality of housing his workers required. From a purely selfish viewpoint, the better the housing, the more strictly Pasquale's injunctions on sanitation were followed, the healthier the workforce he could expect, and the healthier his workforce, the more productive it would be. But there was more to it for Edward Hausmann, just as there was for Michael himself.